This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. Fun show today off a quiet sports weekend, but we've got Tim Tebow for you. Let's do it. Whitlock says if we would have taken the NBA playoffs into consideration, there is no way Russell Westbrook would have been the NBA MVP. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard defends Westbrook getting the MVP based on his regular season. Cowherd makes the case that Dwayne Wade would be a better fit to join LeBron and the Cavs instead of Carmelo Anthony. Former Super Bowl champ Eric Davis joins the debate on who's better, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. Also, fun discussion, the Cam Newton speech that he made to teenagers in North Carolina. Was it a good message to say he didn't have a plan B outside of football? And is Magic Johnson putting too much pressure on Lonzo Ball? Ready for Speak for Yourself? Cowherd and Whitlock, take it away.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why Cam Newton just had his worst moment since losing the Super Bowl.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why the NBA is about to make a huge mistake. Speak for Yourself starts right now on a Monday.
How are you going to make a huge mistake in the offseason?
It's possible.
This is a big trade maybe coming up. All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard and NBA champion Meta World Peace. Let's start in New York, where the NBA Awards will take place tonight, and all eyes will be on Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Kawhi Leonard, who are vying for the league MVP after his historic triple-double season. Westbrook is expected to take home the award, despite the fact that the Thunder didn't do anything in the playoffs. All right, Cowherd, does Westbrook deserve the MVP?
No, it's a sympathy vote. Kevin Durant left. First of all, he is, I don't think anybody, if he was on the free agent market, there's four or five point guards you'd take over Russell Westbrook. I think he's...
Name them.
I'd take Kyrie Irving. I would take Steph Curry. I would take Chris Paul, who actually plays defense. Some would take John Wall, although I wouldn't. He's not as good a shooter. Damian Lillard, I think, is a very similar player. I think he's a tunnel vision player. I think he's hard to play with. I think he ran off KD, and people feel bad for him. But I think this was a statistical sympathy vote, and I think valuable is the ability to not only elevate yourself but others. I think if you're a valuable teacher, a commentator, a quarterback, you elevate others, not just yourself. And I don't think Victor Oladipo is any better than he was in Orlando, yet Steve Nash was criticized for the MVP, but took Amari and Sean Mannion to different places as players.
I think you make some excellent points. He's going to win the MVP.
He will.
I think if we were voting now, having taken in the playoffs, I don't think he'd win the MVP. But does he deserve it? It's a regular season award. He did the triple-double, something people hadn't seen. If he does it again next year, triple-double, I don't think he wins.
I totally agree with that.
He deserves it. He deserves it. I mean, you average a triple-double. He didn't type the numbers in, you know.
Thank you.
He actually put the work in. 100%.
LeBron averaged a triple-double in the finals.
He should have got MVP. He should have got MVP.
No, he should.
Hold on, that's five games.
Whoa. Oh, time out.
Westbrook did it for 82 on back-to-back nights, four games in five nights.
But the knock on LeBron is how can you give a guy the MVP of the finals? Give a guy an MVP on a bad regular season team?
But Durant was phenomenal.
Durant was
the thing.
So was James Harden. And so was James Harden in the regular season.
They were 33-9, Oklahoma City, when Westbrook got triple-doubles. They wish he could have got a triple-double every night. That's a 64-win pace. When he didn't get a triple-double, they were 14-26. How's that for value?
Probably didn't get the triple-doubles at a high percentage against the best teams.
Didn't.
Against bad teams, he beat up bad teams.
You said elevating other players. How did LeBron elevate his team in the regular season when they underachieved terribly? We saw they coasted in the regular season.
Okay. They did.
They went 12-1 through the East in the playoffs. LeBron, that shows you they coasted in the regular
LeBron
season.
LeBron has people take pay cuts to come to his franchise.
Who?
Chris Bosh. Dwayne Wade, he took less.
They all took a little bit, a tiny bit less.
Justin Russell Thompson didn't take no pay cut.
Okay,
J.R. Smith didn't take
Russell
a pay cut.
Westbrook.
Kyrie and Love are max players.
Russell Westbrook, and this should count in the MVP discussion, had a great player. and scared him off.
That, you can't put that all on Westbrook.
Yeah, I think Kevin wanted to leave. I don't think he wanted to be in Oklahoma. He wanted to be in a big city. And that's why he left. It was not Westbrook.
And he wanted an easy
And he wanted to win, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted an easy
And it was the system. I mean, that system in Golden State was great for him.
Why, despite all
his
stats,
he was a role player in Golden
why
State.
Why every debate show in the world is arguing this? Because it's a valid argument.
But like you said, it's a regular season award. That's the key. You're right. If they voted after the playoffs, you give it to LeBron right. or Durant.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by that point. I'm bothered by this has become a statistical award. Valuable means elevating others.
This
Who
year.
Has, the Cavs this... won four more games. Four more games with two All-Stars plus LeBron. Westbrook had no other All-Star.
Chris, I agree with kind of both of you all. This year, because of the triple-double he won, he can't just do the same trick next year.
True.
I think people will reevaluate and look for other things when they evaluate most valuable player. Did he win it this year? I think legitimately, absolutely. We haven't seen this in 50 years.
Absolutely. Okay, did you think sympathy was part of it?
No, I don't think sympathy. I think the novelty of the triple-double and how hard he played in a league where not everybody's playing hard.
By the way, I'm an official voter. Sympathy had nothing to do
with it. By the way, he plays hard, right? Like everybody, he plays hard, right?
He plays hard.
How hard is he playing the defensive end, Mr. MVP?
About as hard as LeBron played. LeBron was coaching.
And Curry.
LeBron is the best player in the world. We know that. But if you're just going to give it to the best player, why even have the award? Just give it to him in November. Say, LeBron, you're the MVP because you're the best player.
Why keep nominating Meryl Streep? Because she's the best actor. What's wrong with doing that?
Why? Don't win every year.
Exactly.
You don't win every
LeBron
year.
LeBron wasn't the best player this year in the league.
What?
He wasn't the best player
Who
this
was?
Year. And I'm a big... Westbrook? Curry's
a
better,
better
than LeBron?
A better player?
Absolutely. Westbrook was way better than LeBron.
No, he was better statistically. Not a better player.
He lifted... He maximized his team.
Look at the team LeBron had. Look at the team that Westbrook had.
Exactly. LeBron didn't maximize his team during the regular season.
What's the Cavs record this year when LeBron didn't play? What is it? It's like 1-8? He's pretty good. You may want to watch LeBron. This kid's good.
If you're a NASCAR fan, there's a new podcast for you to subscribe to. Heritage Road, the podcast that drives you down memory lane, takes you under the hood, and gets you behind the wheel of America's favorite racing competition. They talk to the hardworking drivers, crewmen, and fans that made NASCAR possible then and now. From NASCAR royalty Bobby Allison to the broadcasters that brought racing into homes around the country, they've got all the stories you've probably never heard before. Hosted by the voice of Texas Motor Speedway, Rich Phillips, brought to you by Busch, the beer that has supported racing since 1979. Subscribe to Heritage Road today for free wherever you listen to podcasts. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavs are still chasing another star to help them compete with the Warriors. And reportedly, Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade are now in the mix. According to Brian Windhorst, Melo or Wade could join the Cavs if they're able to secure buyouts from their current teams. Whitlock, who'd be a better fit if given a choice for the Cavs, D. Wade or Melo?
I can't believe I'm saying this. I really can't. Carmelo. And I don't mean that in any way as a knock on LeBron on Dwayne Wade, but I just think Melo would be more hungry. He doesn't have a title. His back would be against the wall. If he can't get one with LeBron, we're really going to put a clown suit on him. And so I just think Melo going to Cleveland with all that to prove would be super motivated, would play both ends of the court as best as he could, would come in terrific shape, and would just be all in on winning a title. Dwayne Wade's got his titles. He's got three of them. Dwayne Wade's stature, legacy is set for life. He is Dwayne Wade. Melo's still got something to prove.
I'm not sure you're incorrect. I think you're probably right. But, man, I like the intangibles with D. Wade. D. Wade has given me 15 years of playing really good in big games. He really has. And I'm telling you, there were times when he was beat up when LeBron was in Miami, and he would play against Indiana or somebody, and I was like, he's just great. Now, he may not be perfect but today's, you know, Melo, you think, 6'9", but Melo doesn't shoot threes particularly well.
But he shoots them a lot better than Wade. I think
you're probably right. But, man, D. Wade's been in a, you know, let's face it, Cavs get into the finals.
Right.
It's about the finals. D. Wade in the finals has a history of over-delivering. He does.
I'd rather see LeBron come to New York. I don't want to see Melo go to LeBron. I'm from New York, and I want to see LeBron come to us. We don't have to go to you. Melo, stay in New York.
Yeah,
Melo,
you know, Melo, stay. That's not happening. You just better worry about keeping Chris.
Who would be a better fit in Cleveland with LeBron, Wade or Melo?
Melo. I say Melo because he's outside shooting, and you need somebody to pass to. And Melo, at this point, he's not moving as well as he used to.
No.
And he just needs a spot up. He'll be a knockdown.
Is basically Melo a poor man's Paul George?
Well, he doesn't play defense like George. Doesn't move like George.
No, he doesn't move, but he can
shoot.
The
good thing, here's the thing. They can get both. It's not one or the other. They could get both.
If both
of them get bought out, they both could easily go to Cleveland.
See, I'd rather see both of them go to New York. I'd rather see Wade and Bron go to New York.
And Paul George,
too. I need a championship.
But, you know, there is something to be said, is that Melo's made his money, and his legacy's pretty much intact. What Whitlock says, I mean, even Melo's legacy.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer, Melo.
But Melo's kind of seen as underachieving.
Don't you think?
You could make the argument.
Really?
Not yet.
You could make the argument that Melo believes I can tick my legacy up. If Melo went there for 2 years and really delivered and was unselfish, it would absolutely assist his legacy. No question.
I agree. For the reasons you said, I agree with you on Melo. But just as a basketball player, he's a better fit. He's, like you said, he can catch and shoot. We see him hold the ball and dominate it, but he doesn't have to do that.
Right.
In the Olympics, I know it's different, but you see him catch and shoot when other guys create for him. He can, in theory, at least space the floor. Wade definitely cannot space the floor. And neither one of them are going to be good defenders at their age. So, and Wade, only one time in the last 6 years has he played 70 games or more.
Right.
So Melo, in every way, I think is a better fit.
You made the point that they could have both of these guys.
Yes.
And my initial reaction is, people in Golden State would be applauding them.
Yeah.
Send them two old guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't think they want to send them two old
guys? Look, because here's the thing. They don't have to both start. One of them can come off the bench, or both of them could come off the bench. And the Wade does bring the intangibles. At this point in their career, I think Wade would be fine coming off the bench and you know, being an intangible.
By the way, Dwayne Wade. Be Mike Miller.
If you give the second team to one of those two and you run things through them in the second team, they can still get 15, 16, 18.
Well, even this year, Dwayne Wade had a couple of nights. Dwayne Wade had his moments this year when he took over games.
I think your point about what Dwayne Wade would do in the postseason would be incredible. But, again, I think when they got to the finals, if I'm Golden State, and I got all these in my prime 20-somethings going up against a bunch of 30-somethings, I'm licking my chops.
Now, I don't think you have to. It's not like you're going to have LeBron, Wade, Melo.
Right.
And all those guys, Kevin Love, Kyrie. First of all, that's not a bad five right there. But they all don't have to be on the court at the same time. You know, and you have to guard Wade. You could lay off JR, especially when he was cold early in the series.
Lay off Iman.
Yeah. Now, Kevin Love, if you have
Kevin. They better buy some extra hot tub.
If you have Love, LeBron, and Melo on the court together, one of those guys is going to get loose because you have Draymond on one and Durant on one, and then the other guy can do his thing. So,
They was missing some confidence with JR and Iman. They was kind of lost.
You never know what you get from JR.
And Korver, too, so at least Melo can bring
something to the table. Remember, the Cavs, when LeBron was on the court, went toe-to-toe with Golden State. It was the inability of the bench, plus-minus. D-Wade and Melo would make you one of the best benches in the league. Welcome back. We're now joined by Super Bowl champ, our buddy Eric Davis, founder of The Big Lead, Jason McIntyre. Here's our butter, too. We like him, too. Let's move to Cam Newton, who was busy working his annual 7-on-7 tournament for Carolina high schoolers this weekend. Awesome. And took the time to offer teenagers some advice about how to achieve their NFL dreams.
The only way I put myself in a situation to be successful was I didn't have no plan B. All right? I didn't have no plan B. I told myself at the end of the day, look, I'm going to be a football player and a football player only.
Whitlock, have an issue with Cam's comments?
Yes. it's bad advice. And now, listen, if you're born and with the physical gifts that he was born with, it's fine not to have a plan B. I grew up with a guy, Jeff George, who was a freak of nature in football, baseball, and basketball. And he didn't need a plan B. He was going to be a professional athlete. We knew it at a very early age. The overwhelming majority of the kids he's speaking to need a plan B, C, D, and E. We all do. Most of us aren't predestined for athletic greatness or to be the next Michael Jackson or to be anything. And so, yeah, you need a plan B. When I hear this, I just think about not all athletes are meant to be spokesmen. Not all athletes are meant to be giving advice to kids. A lot of athletes like Cam had no plan B, and so most of his gifts are athletic and not, I don't know if he has evolved that much in terms of his worldview and self-awareness.
Did Steve Jobs have a plan B?
I don't know.
I didn't have one. Do engineering students have a plan B? By the way, all great people, none of them had plan Bs. Don't we always say about great people, sole focus? You ever read the story, autobiographies? It's 7 years old. He dedicated his life to being a concert pianist. Greats don't have plan Bs. They forge through doubters and critics. I got a support cam on this. Listen, I didn't have a plan B. Nobody majors in sales in college. They don't have a sales major. 30% of college graduates do sales. Why? I didn't have a plan B. I mean, Cam would have made money because he's good-looking, personality. Somebody'd hire Cam to do something. But a lot of people don't have a plan B. He could have been a high school football coach. He'd be a hell of a recruiter in college.
What you're saying is that you would find the next thing.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people do.
So what I'm looking at it as far, and you can say Cam was blessed with certain size and all of these things, and you can say he was destined.
I'm saying
he was destined to be this ball player. I wasn't born 6'5", 280, okay? But what I did do when told that I went to a Division II school, and nobody was getting drafted high out of my school. It wasn't even my thought. But when I was told that I had an opportunity to do it, what I said I was going to do was exhaust the avenue. And I think that's what Cam is saying. I'm going to put all my energy into seeing if this works. If it's not my niche, I'll move on to the next thing, but I don't have to wonder if I had put more into it.
Right.
You don't have a plan B. You put your focus on what it is you're trying to do, and if that doesn't work, we have to find the next thing
and move on. And if it didn't work for you, you'd have been 24.
Yeah, you find the next thing.
And it's not the end of the world that Cam has said this, I say, guys, because actions speak louder than words. And after a few years in the NFL, Cam went back to school. And he was in the classroom in the summer and got his degree at Auburn in sociology, I believe. So he can say that to the students and the football players, and it's a good soundbite, right? It's very Steve Jobsy and maybe Mark Zuckerberg feel to that with the hoodie.
But what he's doing...
He's just saying that. I don't really believe he thinks that.
No, I think he believes it because I think that, as Colin's just saying, you got to have a singular focus and purpose if you want to make it to that level because it is... you're right. It's difficult to get it done. So it takes a certain mentality to be able to focus in and do the things that are necessary to give yourself that opportunity. Now, part of that, guess what? It is going to class. You can't just fall out of school if you're going to put yourself in position
to get kicked out of school, though.
You can get kicked out of school.
Junior college.
You can get kicked out of school. You can get kicked out of school to do some dumb things. But the majority of the guys that are going to make it there, you're going to have to stay in school for those 3 years. You're going to have to get grades and put yourself in position to be able to do something else in life.
Most of the friends I have that own businesses, pizza shops or whatever, you know what they're never looking for? Somebody that's got a wide net of interests. They're looking for a blank who does this well. They're looking for expertise. The liberal arts degree sounded great in the 80s. It's not realistic today. Apple's not looking for a liberal arts degree. They're looking for programmers and engineers and experts.
We've all taken, to me, the conversation has taken the very nuanced view of what he said rather than dealing with what he said and how the kids that heard it, how they interpreted it. And to me, it sounded like he was speaking to a bunch of kids and said, I'm all in on football, and that's all I ever wanted to be was a football player, and I didn't care what happened if I wasn't a football player. It was bad advice to young people. Again, trust me, I had the dream of being a professional football player. But I also was aware, like, man, I better prepare myself if the football thing doesn't work out. I don't think a bunch of those kids were hearing the, yeah, and I better prepare myself for the SAT, and I better be good in the classroom.
Everybody says that, but could I credit Cam for being authentic? Cam's like, man, I got no plan B. Nobody ever says that.
We credited Paul George for authenticity last week. He was up front.
Again, you got to be. There's all kinds of authenticity that we could have that isn't appropriate for young people. There's a lot of things I could go tell young people that are authentic, that are really authentic, but it's not appropriate for them.
What's inappropriate or inappropriate about telling someone to focus in on your goal? Okay, now that may not be the niche that you think they should focus in on.
No, that may not
be the goal that you think they should focus in on.
We wouldn't be having this discussion if Cam Newton had said, you guys should focus in on your goal. That's not what he said. He said, I have no plan B, and he passed that off as good advice.
He said, I had no plan B.
I know he passed that off as good advice.
I had no plan B. I focused on what I wanted to accomplish, and I was able to accomplish. I don't think that's bad advice.
I think it's his life story, and I'm okay with it. His life story is, man, I had no plan B. I was all in on football. By the way, I think kids are smarter than you think. Like, just because I hear somebody.
I remember.
Maybe just my kids.
Yes, they are.
But I mean, I think kids hear things and sift through it and know. You know, a kid's going to feel like, I weigh 112 pounds. I'm a junior in high school. Probably not playing.
Yeah.
Kids can figure it out.
I was a 545-pound freshman. I knew I had to do something. Football came along. I'm going to work hard at it and do it. But, yes, you got
to
do something
when
else.
When kids come to you for media advice, they want to get in the media field, what do you tell them? Dude, don't worry about the grades. Grind in college. Work at the local newspaper TV station. Work at the campus local TV station. Everything.
What was your plan B?
I was going to take over my dad's bar. It would be my plan B.
That sounds like fun. That doesn't sound like a plan B.
Yeah, you're partying.
New Packers tight end Martellus Bennett raised some eyebrows this weekend by ranking Aaron Rodgers as the best quarterback he's ever played with, putting his new QB above the man who just led him to a world championship, Tom Brady. Colin, is it ridiculous to say Rodgers is better than Brady?
No, athletically he is. He does have the highest passer rating in league history. So I think if I went out and played catch with both, I'd be like, whoa, Aaron Rodgers is way better. They haven't played a game. Now, if I played a game or 16 with Tom, I think almost like Lonzo Ball in the workout. Lonzo Ball, Dominique Wilkins is going to blow you away at the workout. Lonzo Ball over a season, you'd be like, man, he's an effective basketball player. If you just practice with both, you'd be like, Aaron's a lot better. I think the gift of Tom is his stamina, his kind of the picture of the season, his stability emotionally, his ability to have a terrible series and just forget it. I mean, Tom's gift is he can have a terrible first half and the best second half of your life. Aaron's more talented than Tom. That's okay. He is.
You're not mentioning Tom's greatest gift. Starts with the name Bill and ends with Belichick. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the most accomplished quarterback in the history of football. No problem. Aaron Rodgers is better than him. Martellus Bennett has said nothing wrong.
Yeah. Better arm? Aaron Rodgers. Better legs? Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I'm a Brady guy. I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. But it's okay to say, hey, Aaron Rodgers is more talented than Tom Brady.
Well, you always use the word accomplishment. Tom's the most accomplished.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like actors. I mean, like there's some actors, whether they're the best or not, Tom Hanks is going to have a lot of trophies. I mean, is he as good as the guy that just retired, Daniel Day-Lewis? Not according to actors. I mean, sometimes people are more accomplished. Doesn't necessarily mean they're better. Right?
No, but when you use the word better, you always throw in the championships. We always do. At this table, we do.
Charles Barkley is a lot better than a bunch of guys with titles.
No, I agree. If we're talking about the physical aspects of things, then I get what he's saying. But we don't talk about players and who's better without throwing in the Super Bowls. We don't are talking about the championships. And all of those things have to be a part of it, especially if you're talking about two players playing in the same era.
Let me throw you a curveball, Eric. Defensive back. If you were picking a quarterback to play one game, you had to win one game.
There's no question.
Who would you take?
I can't do that because you got to what defense am I playing against and who what offensive line?
What would quarterback would you least like to play?
If I'm starting off right now with the quarterback, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers. I know that.
Right.
So we're talking about just the physical tools, just looking at it. But now we're talking about which one in the same era has been better. That's Tom Brady. Look at his records.
Been more accomplished.
No, he's been winning makes you better.
Yeah, but how do you quantify better? I mean,
winning. If I have a better record than you.
It's all the quarterback.
If I have a better record than you, I am better than you.
Let's personalize it. You're on the corner.
But that's a part of it.
Okay, it's 4th and 8, 13-yard line.
They better not throw at me.
They're going to throw at you. Who would you rather have throw at you?
I don't care.
All right, welcome back. Chris Broussard and Metta World Peace are back. Let's return to the NBA, where Magic Johnson introduced the Lakers' top pick, Lonzo Ball, at a press conference this weekend. And the Lakers legend actually sounded more like LaVar Ball than the team's president.
Welcome the new face of the Lakers, the guy who I think will lead us back to where we want to get to. I'm going to put a little pressure on you right now. You look to your right, there's some jerseys hanging on that wall. We expect a Ball jersey hanging up there one day, all right? All right, good. Just leave me one or two records, okay? That's it. You know, all right, don't break all my records. I want your grandfather, just let him leave me one, okay?
All right, Colin, Magic's a little out of breath there. is he putting too much pressure?
No, I think Magic was being playful, and I also think that if you can't handle pressure, then you're not going to be a star in L.A. Listen, this kid is meant to be. You know his initials are L.A. Ball? His middle name starts with A. His initials are L.A. Ball. He's been a star for 2 years. And I just think this is, if he can't handle it, and I think he's going to handle it well, listen, his dad... It's a circus every day they go out with his dad. Yeah. I think he's uniquely calloused. You know, he's used to chaos. I think he's going to be fine, and I don't think that's any added pressure.
It's too much pressure.
It's great for him. I think it's pressure, but I think he wants it. He's the type of kid, if you watch him, he's calm around the whole storm, and he wants it. He wants it. He's going to be great.
Would you put this kind of pressure on your kid?
I wouldn't personally, but he can take it.
Because he's used to it from his dad. That's where you look at this. And maybe that's why Magic even went that far. I do think Magic went too far. I agree with you. I think he's going to be great. But here's the thing people aren't looking at. If you're Brandon Ingram.
Right.
Number 2 pick. Maybe you're going to be a superstar.
He is a superstar.
Are you sitting there saying, wait a minute. Can't we both be the face? Maybe I'm the face? Or I'm just wondering if Ingram, if that rubs him a little bit the wrong way. I think you just let it happen organically.
I think that's the best
Chris, way. I think you make a great point in terms of, to me, Magic caught up in the moment, caught up in the hype. LaVar Ball has stirred a hype machine like we've never seen before. And Magic has gotten swept up in it. And instead of acting like a team president, Lonzo Ball, he's the greatest thing. And again, I'm not taking any shots at it, but this ain't even the number one pick. Markelle Fultz is the number one pick. Magic Johnson's acting like he don't remember 1979 when he came out and he was the number one pick.
Right, right.
And we're already crowning Lonzo Ball. We're putting him up the number 2 pick. We want jerseys hanging in the rafter. Jerry West, Magic, Kareem, Shaq, Kobe. And we're putting this kid on this pedal. This is what we crowning the dude a little too early. I think it's unfair to him.
You know, I'll say this, though. I watched this first workout, and I watched the press conference. I watched this press conference. The kid's pretty good. I mean, I think he's really, really good in, you know, he said, dad talks, I ball. I think this space for him, it's like a weird thing. Like, LaVar Ball does some things I don't like. But in a weird way, he's kind of helping him. That Lonzo is uniquely qualified to deal with the circus of being the NBA's new star. I don't know how Ben Simmons will handle it. I'm pretty confident Lonzo will do it with flying colors.
I would rather catch the NBA by surprise the way Steph Curry did.
LeBron didn't.
But this guy, and that's the thing,
he's not LeBron.
And LeBron, to your point, though, from the time he was 15, if not earlier, he was in the national spotlight. So he was able to handle the pressure and the hype and all that. I agree. I don't think this is about Lonzo. I think this is about Magic, just, like I said, going too far. I've myself kind of compared Lonzo to Jason Kidd.
Right, and at times
I've said things about him and Magic, but I've cringed and always come back that I'm not saying he's Magic. Magic just said he's Magic.
He said,
leave me a record or two. He just said he's Magic.
I didn't like him at first. You know, I thought he was a like a ball stopper, but when I watched him, he passes the ball. So I think any free agent and they want to win a title, I think this is the kid that you want to play with.
I just want to understand, when Magic came into the league, man, a physical freak like we had never seen before, right, that big and could handle the ball and could control the pace of the game. We've compared him a little bit to LeBron James, a physical freak who came into the league and like, wow, we ain't never seen this at 18.
So you're saying
this dude is real thin. He's a straw. And I understand he's got some talent, but his foot speed doesn't really impress me. His frame at this point doesn't really impress me. Again, there's some talent here that's going to have to be developed, and we already crowning this dude. And I think Chris's point about Brandon Ingram and other guys that are competitive, like they handing the keys over to this dude, and I'm here, he ain't even put in no work.
But remember, he's this team over the last 4 years has had the second worst record in the NBA. So even if Lonzo is not 21 and if Lonzo makes them interesting, first of all, they will be better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Brooke Lopez is an upgrade.
Yeah.
All the young players, they're going to be a better team. If this team wins 33 games and Lonzo's okay, the sense will be Lonzo worked.
What you want to see, they're not going to make the playoffs.
No.
All right? And I'm not looking for him to average 17 and 11 right away. I think eventually he'll get to numbers like that. What you're looking for is his unselfishness to be contagious.
Yep.
To see a big improvement in Brandon Ingram that's related to Lonzo Ball, right, and to see the other guys running the floor looking for the pass because they know this guy's going to find me. If you start seeing that, even if they only win 5 or 10 more games, then you're going to say, okay, we got something here.
I'm going to say something that'll sound foolish initially, but when we think about it, I think we'll come back 6 months and check me out later. This reminds me of Sebastian Telfair.
Oh.
This reminds me of, what was the kid, Felipe Lopez?
Felipe Lopez
is on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Again, I want to see, he's only 19. I want to see him physically fill out before I'm ready to crown him and say he's going to come in and play with these grown-ass men in the NBA. I got to see more proof before I'm just ready to go where Magic and others have gone. I've seen young, talented guards overhyped that flame out.
He is the real deal, though, I believe. I really think he's the real deal.
This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. I told you it was a fun show, guys. Believe that. Remember, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Hey, man, can Paul George get traded already? I mean, seriously, what is the holdup? Take the best offer you got and let's get a move on with it. Seriously, Indiana, you're holding up all the fun free agency. I can't wait. See you tomorrow.